Places, a lot of us Christians think our relationship with God is almost a equal relationship or an entitled relationship. We almost act like God owes us something. And here's the problem. We might not say it, and you might not even feel it, but we act it. Do y'all get this? You have Christians that will look at other people, and because of what other people have and they don't, then their actions will change in sort of a tantrum type of way. God, I done this for you, and you didn't do this, so I'm not going to do this anymore. And we don't realize that no, absolutely none of us deserves any good that we're getting. And in fact, even when we get good, we're messing up. And his mercy and his grace keeps giving to us. What a wretched man I am. When you get that, then you'll be able to humbly receive and live for God. You'll be able to clearly understand you only play a part. You don't see the whole picture. Just trust me. But until I get to that spot, I'm going to have attitudes. I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to treat God with me and not treat God with reverence and understanding. Wretched man realized, you mean he gave me all this and I keep messing up? Seriously. You know what I mean? You would have this thing of every time he gave you something, you would almost feel uncomfortable with him giving it to you. And he doesn't even want you to do that. But he wants you to understand that and live with that mindset of thank you, God, of that thankfulness and living inside of that. So let's go on over a review where we first started. Human nature seems to think it's missing out. And we've been living that way. That's why this time is called terrible times, because we're more so living for us and not living for God. We must realize what we are when we are not living in Christ. Okay, we have to understand that it's the sin living in us. In other words, when you live for the flesh, you're doomed. The flesh's purpose, and some may say, why are we doomed when God gave it to us? It's like I heard a person say, and they were talking about marijuana. They were saying, well, if God created it, if God didn't want us to smoke it, he wouldn't have created it. Didn't they ever hear there was a tree he created also that they were supposed to eat off of? Did they use that same knowledge? You know what I mean? If he didn't want us to eat off of, he wouldn't create it. Do you see how we can be foolish when we want something? Okay? And people have that same concept. So we have that same thing. Instead of realizing, when I now allow my flesh to serve me without the me serving God, that's where it went downhill. And that's what we still do today. We want God to serve us. But we're messed up. And that's where we go downhill. Christ saves us from us. He's not saving us from anything else. I know we want to blame the world, and that's why, you know, parents think they're doing good by keeping kids from. We think the kids became corrupt by the world, while the Bible made clear, no. We corrupted the world. The corruption of the world came from us. Do you understand? And the problem is us. If you took a whole group of us and moved us somewhere else and eliminated us from a whole bunch of things, we'd still be just as corrupt. Why? Because we're still there. Do you understand that? And so what he saved us from is us. When we get those feelings and those urges and all that stuff, that's us. And those aren't going to ever go away. That's us battling the flesh. That's why it says the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. To be saved required a choice of responsibility. Okay, and that's why it says those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. And those who live for the spirit have their mind set. So in other words, he's saying by watching people, what they're living by shows what their focus is on. And for a person who recognizing that I'm supposed to live for God, will live for God. A person who doesn't recognize it will live for themselves. In other words, it's going to show in your life, if you like it or not. And it's not it's hard to do or whatever. It's whatever you set your mind on. If you really are living for God, you'll live for God. If you really just like to say the words and you really want God to live for you, you'll live for you. Okay? And he let it both know, the ones living for God are going to heaven and they'll get peace and eternal life. And the people who are not are going to have destruction. And that is very simplistic on how God puts that out there for us to understand that. So we broke that down, and where we last left off was Galatians 5, 24-25. Is that correct? Okay, praise God. So it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. Let me stop there for a minute. So then you ask yourself that question, have you done that? Do you understand? And think about that. He's saying those who belong to Christ Jesus have. What he didn't say was should or work on. If you truly accepted Christ, and this is where sometimes when we do that thing of grabbing somebody and say, hey, do you accept Christ as your personal Savior? And people go, yes, I do. And then they run away. And you're like, they're saved. And now they're going out there living their life and doing all this stuff because they didn't do this. This is one of those requirements. This is one of those terms of, if I'm going to get that gift of him paying off everything, I have to make up my mind, you know what? My sinful nature, or the me factor, doesn't play a part anymore. But that's part of the repentance decision. That's why Jesus kept saying, if you don't deny yourself, you can't follow me. You cannot be my disciple. Why was he saying that? Because our sinful nature is the thing that's causing all the problems. That's what he says. Those who belong to Jesus, Christ Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Now, what that doesn't mean is they'll go away. What that does mean is they don't matter. Now, there's Christians, and this is what we happen. I try to be a Christian for God, but man, I got these desires. Christian for God, got these desires. And we have this fight, and we struggle, and we get depression, we hurt, and all this stuff. Why? Because we allow the sinful nature to still have a say. Person who crucified the sinful nature, I'm following God. Desires are screaming, I'm following God. Desires, do y'all see where I'm going with this? Desires are pulling and tugging, I'm following God. And after a while, and that's why that one verse says, I beat my body to make it my slave, desires go. He's not listening to us. Exactly. Do y'all get this? Okay. Even Jesus was put in that position to either listen to himself. Remember, he said, I'm sorrowful even to the point of death. Or I do exactly what my Father tells me. Do y'all get this? And that's the battle. Today, we want both. My desire is screaming, and I want to serve you. Isn't that great, God? And God's like, go ahead, do what you're going to do. And that's the key. So we should have crucified. Crucified means my sinful nature, or my human nature, or Keith, doesn't play in the picture anymore. And I see that every day. I'm going through, like I said, with my health right now, I'm going through a thing where not only am I tired, sluggish, and all this stuff, it's that irritable. And man, these past couple of weeks have really been, things have been hitting. I have to catch it. And every once in a while I'll do it and get irritated, and you have to really catch it. But I can't go that as my excuse. I have to apologize and explain it and really catch it. But I always realize, Keith, that can never be the excuse. I can't make people change for me. Do y'all understand that? And that's why when I'm tired, where I'll tell people, please don't do that. I got to work on this and I do what I can. But I got to do what God is. I can never go, hey, God, I can't do what you want because of me. I always have to go, me, I got to ignore me because of God. Do y'all catch that? Okay? And that's me crucifying the sinful nature. It's not easy. No, it's not easy. But it's something that we must do. And that's why he says, so who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That line you hear me read over and over again, because it's saying, okay, y'all, you're a Christian, you're spiritual, be spiritual. Right? Okay? And being spiritual is a choice. A lot of our Christian walk is a choice that we are empowered to do. Okay? So it's almost like God will give me the ability to, but I have to do it. Think about that. Okay? Old Testament, they had the command to do, and they couldn't do it. That's the difference maker. They really couldn't. When they said, I can't help it, they really meant, I can't help it. Does that make sense? We can now help it, just choose not to. That's the difference. Now, we talk ourselves into going, but I can't help it. It's just overwhelming. I can't take this. Instead of going, man, this is really tough, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is why contentment, we have to go to him. This is why a lot of things he wants us to show, who are you depending on? Because when I go through it, I'll keep going to him, showing him I depend on him. That's why he does it with our money. You know what I mean? He gets our money, and he gives you all your money. You know, the government had to take money. Why? Because we'll go, I'll give it back to you next week. All right, I'll give it to you 2 months from now. Okay, how about 2 years? God's like, I'm giving you all of it. Now, give back what you think you're supposed to get back. Okay, I'll give it to you next. Okay, got it. So you're telling God, I got this. A person who truly fears God will go, here. Man, I want you to have it all because you're my provider. You get where I'm coming from? Y'all see where I'm going with this? So you do it in a way, and you're showing a trust in him. And that's why I have most of what the Spirit desires can be found in the Bible. Okay? So when I live spiritual, I'm only wanting to do what the Bible says. Did y'all catch that? Recognizing what I want, but doing what it says. I'm going to say that again. Recognizing what I want, but doing what it says. That's why it says, take your thoughts captive. That's why I tell people sometimes when you're going through something, and somebody say, you okay? And you go, I'm fine. And you're not. All right? That's kind of foolish because you're setting yourself up. It's better to go, I'm struggling. I need you to pray for me because I got to stay. I'm going to stay in God, and I don't want this thing to be a. You're telling somebody this is a battle I'm going through, but I don't want you to give into my battle. I want you to pray for me that I stay in God. That one of the worst things we can do is cater to the person's flesh instead of encouraging them in God. Do y'all get that? Everybody with me on that? Okay. So most of what the Spirit desires can be found in the Bible. Now watch this. Satan has succeeded in disguising some sinful natured things as godly. Here's some examples. First of all, partnering in dangerous relationships. Okay, so we know that's wrong. Okay, anything that's not a godly relationship, that's two Christians, that the only partnerships are two Christians that should be exist. But he says by looking to please self and not obey God. So in other words, even though the other person's not a Christian, you'll hear them go, but they make me happy. We work so well together. Things go so well. You say all this stuff, and you're looking at it going, but they're not a Christian. Yeah, yeah, but it's so nice, and people think we look great together, and this works out. And you go back, but they're not Christian. I know, but you see what I'm saying? And churches even start giving in to, well, you know, they're happier with this person than they were with. Has nothing to do with your happiness, has nothing to do with your loneliness, have nothing to do with your desires, has everything to do with God. But Satan has won that one. Look around. You see it in businesses. You see it in marriage. You see it in church relationships. We're doing that same thing. Here's another example. Making family and friends happy by neglecting godly roles. Now, there's a happiness or a relationship we're supposed to have with our friends, but we do it by, okay, you don't have to do this. Okay, we will skip this. All right, I'm going to give you a pass. And I think a lot of us really think when we see God, well, God, that was my child. Well, God, that was my wife. Well, God, that was my brother or sister. And he already warned us ahead of time, if you love them more than me, you are not worthy than me. See, now you say that to Pastor Keith, and I still have to put that out there, but let's say you say that to Pastor Keith. I hear what you're saying. I know what the Bible says, but damn, that man, that's my child, right? Sounds great, doesn't it? And I think all of you would kind of feel, yeah, I get it. While we're supposed to go, and? Not in that mean way, but I'm trying to give it insight on it. Of how, why did that make a difference? The only answer should be, because God said, in every case. Look at another one. Gaining success in your career, which is not a wrong thing, by pushing God to the back and you up front. There are many people that if something happened in your career, and this is the part where it becomes hard because this can go from as early as college to promotions to where you're at. You're going to make decisions at work, okay? And you got to really watch those decisions because you may see your career skyrocket from the decision and your relationship with God fall. And then what we started doing was because I skyrocketed in my career, that means my relationship with God is great. You see how I just lied to myself? Okay? No, that relationship with God has to be consistent and always. And sometimes you'll go, no, I'm going to pass on this. Or, man, if I take this, they got to understand I only can. Does that make sense? A man who went to school and he realized he wanted to be a surgeon. And he was one that really trusted in God and said, I'm going to do this because I'm going to allow God and I really can help people with God, so on and so forth. As he went through the thing, he realized the time it took away from his responsibility. He was already married and said, wait a minute, the Bible tells me how I'm supposed to be as a father. Wait a minute, the Bible tells me how I'm supposed to be as a man. Wait a minute. He started going down the list, and surgeons, praise God that God made them, and they're working, but that's first in their life. They're first surgeons, then they're second, whatever, and that even includes Christian. Christian comes after them being a surgeon. Surgeon bypasses everything, especially in our country. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? To where he realized that and said, then I can't be one. His dream, he had an ability, but he realized it got in my way with me and God. Now, not many would do that. Because you got to make, that's between you and God to make that decision. You understand that? Many do that today because then we think, if I do better, God's blessing me. Is that how it works? Is that what's really happening? And also, ignoring godly instruction by catering to the desire and outcome. Okay? Once again, think about this. So, God's going to ask us a question on our lives. Am I going to go, God, everything worked out? Or am I going to go, I did what you said? Now, think of what I'm saying here. What many people do is blatantly ignore what the word tells us, and when it works out, we go, it's fine. So we're living for the outcome, not for what God said. And that's a hard thing as a pastor. When people come to me sometimes and they'll ask me advice, Here's what I know they're looking for. They want an outcome. They want me to go do this and your life will, right? Instead of going, God said, do this, do this. Does that make sense? You know, I told you about many people who have been in businesses and relationships, and I'll give what the Bible says. My advice is never Keith Smith's advice, is what the Bible says. And when I give it to them and they don't do it and it works out, sometimes they look at me like, see? And I'm kind of going, no, actually, you don't see. Do you understand? I see what you think you're seeing, but no. And that's a dangerous thing. Instead of them going, it looks like everything's working out, but did I do wrong? Does that make sense? And this is how he gets us. In other words, I have here, Satan makes it like mixing fleshly happiness with godliness is possible, while it's really not. There are many people down here who are living the best of both worlds, or they think they are. They're clearly in the Lord, Lord group. They really, in their mind, are convinced, man, I am 100% Christian. But, man, they're getting the best of this world. And they think when Jesus comes, he's going to go, man, you played the game. You knew how to do it. While they're going to go, and Jesus is going to look at them and go, I don't know you. I was in church most of the time. I read my Bible a lot of the time. I was better than Christian Joe over there. Never knew you. He says, only he who does the will of my Father. Remember that? So the key to this is that understanding of I can't do both. When I recognize what a wretched man, that's where the reverence comes in. God, you gave all this to me. What do you want me to do? Got it. Does that make sense? I'm getting ahead of myself. All right. So now, our choice is a matter of eternal life or death, but it's still a choice. And you got to understand that. Galatians 6:7 through verse 10 starts off with, do not be deceived, which lets me know that deception is a choice. We like to play the victim. We like to play confused, especially when we don't want to take responsibility, right? Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I was scared. Oh, I didn't understand. Now, when we really want something, I watch people who are the most confused, man, they'll figure something out that they really want. Do you understand it, man? We'll break our neck to understand something we really want. But when it comes to God, I don't want to do that, so I'll play stupid. And I'm not saying it's easy to understand. I'm saying, where was the effort to understand? Like I said, one thing why FSG adds so much question and answer is exactly for that. You know what I mean? And when we don't ask questions, then we must understand. Amen. Do y'all get it? You know what I mean? And even if, and I have to even do it in our ministry, if you ask 50 times the same question, we got to do what we can to keep answering it. You understand? It doesn't matter how many times you bring it, because understanding is, I got to make sure I'm not deceived. Give me what the Bible says on this. Do you understand? Don't bypass on it. And so what shouldn't I be deceived on? He breaks it down. God cannot be mocked. So you can tell me you're trying. You can tell all the congregation you're trying. But who's the one who's going to sign off for you to get into heaven? That's God. And he's like, the rest of them might fool, but God cannot be mocked. So here's the deal. You don't want to fool me, right? You want my help, just like I want your help. Why? Because nothing I can do to get you there, but I can help you as you can help me. Because they're not going to go, let me go talk to Pastor Keith because I must have missed something. You know, like you go to another job, you can write a reference and you can get all that. They have no idea the stuff that the other people may know. The difference with God is he knows everything. That's why he can't be mocked. Does that make sense? So I can play all the games I want down here. When I meet with God, I can't go, well, God, I was really trying. Seriously, Keith, seriously. They all get where I'm going with this. So when it says God cannot be mocked, he's letting you know this is how he's going to break it down very clearly. Okay, now watch. He'll start off with, a man reaps what he sows. So he's saying, so when judgment comes and you meet with God, you're going to reap what you sow. And what does that mean? Purpose. He says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And if he knows there's no doubt in there, he's not going to go, God's not going to go, if I found out that you were lying to me, because the problem is he already knows. Do y'all get that? See, when you get a job, they can do all the searches, but they're never going to find everything. You might have some that can go even through when you go through the NSA and all that other stuff, and people have to go through these, get these high security things. They still don't know everything. The difference here, even God knows what you were thinking and what you were really doing, what your motives were, what your purpose was. Do you get this? So when it says a man will reap what he sows, and he says, if I see that you're living for you, this is what you're going to get. Hands down. All that other stuff is gone. And he says, and the one who sows to please the Spirit. So if you're truly spiritual, I don't know. Do y'all get this? And he says, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, do y'all see how grace, now stop there for a minute, because that sounds like works again, doesn't it? But it's not. There's works in it, but me getting eternal life is from him giving it to me through grace. But that's me accepting it by living for the Spirit. The Spirit becomes my purpose. That's the change in my life. But if I say I accepted Christ, but I'm still my purpose, I didn't accept Christ. Y'all catch that? Okay, that's one of the terms of accepting this gift, this free gift that he's given to us. It's me accepting it and following it. That's why he breaks into verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. Why does he have to say that? In other words, in this world, if I did good and I got good for it, wouldn't I keep doing good? Right? How many? If every time you did something good, I gave you $100, y'all would do good every day, wouldn't you? You know what I mean? I mean, every minute you did good, y'all would just keep doing stuff to do good. I mean, good. I just want good. Y'all come in here, pastor, right, for the good. However, the reason why he says, let's not give up, not become weary in doing good, you're going to watch people not doing good and making out. They're going to get benefits for it. They're going to go, I didn't do good, and look how much I made. And you're going to do good, and you're going to make up statements like, no good deed goes unpunished, right? Every time I do nice, nothing works out. You know what? I'm done. And what he's saying to you is, so what was the reason you were doing it? For the outcome or for the Spirit? In other words, for God. What's your reason for doing it? And that's the key. So when he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. Everybody say, if we do not give up. Okay? And that's the key. Some of us are going to give up, but none of us have a reason to give up. Unless I'm living for the flesh. Does that make sense? All right. And I used to say, God, why is this happening? All this stuff happening in this person's life. They're going to leave. And it came clear to me where God is saying, if they leave, they were never meant to be here. Do y'all get it? In other words, he comes down to the choice. I only want those who are truly following me, who are earnestly following. I am shaking to get the ones off that are playing games. I only want those. That's why he's saying, if we do not give up. Okay, and it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And that's a Christian. In other words, the Christian won't change from it. Is it going to frustrate you? Absolutely. Is it going to disappoint you? Absolutely. Are you going to be unappreciated? Absolutely. And is it going to matter? Absolutely not. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? None of that should matter. God told me to do it. I'm going back and doing it. They spit in my face last time. They yelled at me last time. God says, go back. Okay, guess where I'm going? You understand? The whole thing can't be built off of the outcome, and the situation has to be built off of God. But I'll only know that, what a wretched man. If I matter, no. They spit in my face. They yelled at me. I'm not going to let nobody talk that way. God, if you want me to minister for you, you better put me somewhere I like. And what I just said out loud, a lot of us live. Think about it. Right? All right, I got my attitude going. No, God, I'll do this over here and I'll do it 100%, God, but I'm not doing that. Seriously? You know what I mean? We do it based off of us as if we're something instead of, God, whatever you say. Do y'all get this? Jesus had every right to go, I lived 100% sinless life and you want me to die for these people? Are you serious? And no, he goes, forgive them for they know not what they do. Y'all catch that? Because he was connected with God. His attitude didn't show none of the above. They had chance after chance. Like, all right, this criminal that y'all know is a criminal, or Jesus, let the criminal go. Seriously? And they showed the extreme of how we do it, and this is exactly how we still do it today. But when I realize what a wretched man I am, and Jesus, you're like, is that how we're doing to God? Got it. Do y'all get this? Okay? It'll disconnect you from it. There is a reason for the suffering in Christ. Okay, so for those of you who are going through a suffering in Christ, there's a big reason. Look what he says in Romans 8, 18 through 21. It says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. First thing he's saying is, I don't care whatever you're going through down here. When you see the glory that you get, if you stay in there and you go with it and you end up with God, you're going to go, and that's it. That's all I had to go through. Seriously. Okay? That's why we can't explain it. I could not give a sermon on it because there's no way I could do justice. And God wouldn't allow us to give a sermon because you couldn't comprehend it. Okay? So he's letting you know that first. But he goes on to let us know the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Now that's talking about the entire world, because the reason why the world is corrupt is because of us. We messed it up, and they have to wait until God goes through his whole grace plan with all of us before he makes a new heaven and a new earth. So right now, when we see the trees die, that's because of our corruption. When we see the bugs and the flies, that's because of our corruption. When we see the earthquakes and the storms, that's because of our corruption. And creation's going, why do we have to go through this for them? And that's what he's saying here. He's saying the creation was subject, and this is verse 20, to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Did y'all catch that? God said, hey world, trees, you just did what I told you. Animals, you just did what I told you. All the above just did what I told you. And man messed up. And the reason why I'm allowing this mess up to still happen, like he says, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into glorious freedom of the children of God. Do y'all get that? So the whole aspect of it is waiting for us to do everything he can, and he's going to pull those out of it who accept him and be part of him. Does that make sense? And the ones who are still going that way are going to die off. And unfortunately, like I said, we still have that mentality. We still allow ourselves to be mixed up, to be distracted, to be pulled on, because we still live for self. Instead of recognizing, man, thank you, God. And then so all the creation has to wait until he gets everybody in, and those who are in, those who are not, are not. God works with everything Christians go through. Yes.
So verse 20, the creation, you're talking about plants, trees, bugs.
Animals.
21, creation, you're still talking about the same.
Yep. So in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage. So that's not only talking, that's including us.
Okay.
Now, so when it goes, but the will of God who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into glorious freedom of the children of God. That's us in there. You know what I mean? If as Christians. So the Christians, because remember, only Christians are children of God, will be the ones to liberate all of. So when we get the new heaven, new earth, trees will be forever. Waters will be forever. Everything. You won't have the diseases you have. Things won't die. Do y'all get this? But the decay and the stuff that we have that happened now are a product of sin and man. It was the fall of man. We were in control of it all. We gave it up. Do y'all get that? And now it's waiting till God says, I'm going through all of them, giving them all their chances, and the ones that come out of it, they're going to bring creation out of it. So when he makes a new heaven and a new earth, the creation now going to be in a glorious eternity and not put in the garbage we put them through. Does that make sense? Okay? So it's just showing you how this whole process is working when we realize. Okay? And this also shows God works with everything Christians go through. One thing I used to make a mistake of, and I still slip up and do it, and I think other Christians do, is we make it seem like God made your life with a plan to make you go through things, and that's not 100% true. God made your life so he can work through anything you go through. Did y'all catch that? There's a difference in that, okay? There's a planning he has for your life, but God is saying, no matter what you go through, I can work with that in you. Does that make sense? And as long as we live in a trust in God, we won't look at what we're going through. We'll keep looking at God. Okay? That's why he says in this verse, clearly in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. What it doesn't say is God creates all things to do the good for those who love him. That's not what he said. He was like, basically, so if I'm a Christian and I'm living in his love, I can go through a complete disaster and it's going to be for my good. Same. The problem is, a person who's not loving God go through that exact disaster, and they just went through a disaster. And they're going to suffer. They're going to struggle. They're going to die. They're going to. Do you get where I'm coming from? But he's saying to a Christian, doesn't mean I'm going to change your disaster. I'm going to make it so it's going to benefit you. Y'all see how slight difference can be? Amen? You'll, as a Christian, you'll benefit from deaths. You'll benefit from sicknesses. You'll benefit from destruction because he's working with you due to your love in him. And that's how powerful he is. Okay? But it's only for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When this is according to his purpose, did we go back to that? Are you living for the spirit? Or are you living for the flesh? Right? If I am one living in his purpose, I don't look at the situation. I understand he's working with me. I won't go, God's going to put me in a job that I'm really going to like. I'm going to say, whatever job I get, God's working with me. Y'all see how that works? Right? God's going to make it so I'm healthy for the rest of my life. What I'll say is, whatever God does with my health, I know he's working with me. Y'all see the difference? I won't say, God's going to make me rich. What I will say is, whatever I have, God is going to work with me. Okay? It'll all be based on my love and my purpose in God and not my situation. And too many times we measure our relationship with God with our situation. And that's how Satan gets us. When we think things are great, man, wasn't that a blessing? Wasn't that a great? I remember even in spring, there was one day where it was like 70 degrees. And I remember I went outside and I think we even had the time, day off or whatever. I mean, it was a beautiful day. It was almost in my mind, perfect. And all I can do was laugh because in my mind, I can get, if you can do this all year, God, I'd love it. No, I wouldn't. After a while, and you hear people go, I'm bored. Can't we get a variety of weather? We'd make up something because we just can't be pleased. You know what I mean? Now, at the moment, I'd probably get a whole couple of years of that and be happy. Then after a while, well, it'd be nice if I had, you know what I mean? I'd make up something, right? Not understanding that that has nothing to do with it. So when it snows, man, he's working with me. When it's that beautiful day, he's working with me. When there's a tornado, he's working with me, screaming and running down the street. But do you understand that? All the above. You know what I mean? In which I'm not caught up in the situation, I'm being blessed in him working with me. Right? Because I'm living according to his purpose. Now, that last part, which we sometimes leave out, who have been called according to his purpose, if I love him, I'll do what he commands. So that means I won't go, I'm not going to talk to that person because he got mad at me. I'm going to love my enemy because that's God working with me. Y'all get it? Has nothing to do with what that enemy did to me because it has nothing to do with me because I'm living according to him. You with me? Everybody with me? Okay. Very important. Now, so how to live for the Spirit. How do we do that? First and most important, deny self. You don't get past this part. Rest of it is downhill. And this is where most of us today have ended it because what we've been starting to teach is not a deny self, but a embrace self, supply self, do it for self. We've made Christianity almost to the point where God is living for us. We turn God into a big blue genie. You know what I mean? To where he's living for us, to our love and to what we want. Okay? And with the, or was he green? Yeah, I'm talking about Aladdin. But and I don't know what color he was because like, what is it? He was blue. Okay, thank you. See, I was good. All right. But that's what we want. We want that person that's living for what I want, not living for my good. Do y'all get this? Remember, God's the all supreme. It's all about him. Absolutely. It's not about me. And he's given up this time for me. Y'all do understand, he could have destroyed us and created another us. No, he was even going to do that with Moses. He said, Moses, get out the way. Let me blow them up, and I'll do my promise to you. That's why Jesus even said, let this cup pass, because you can do it and still make your glory happen. Do you get what I'm saying? He chose not to do it that way. Understand that. He can do anything. There's nothing he can't do. And he's still stuck with us. He still keeps working with us. But I only understand that when I deny self. This is why he says in Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me. So in other words, if I'm coming and I want to be a Christian, not me talking you into saying a few words. I made the choice. Yep, I want to give my life for Christ. Okay? He must, everybody say must, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We have a question.
I don't even know how to form this question. So can denying ourselves get in our way of our Christianity, I guess, like us who have grandchildren or we're helping people all the time when maybe sometimes we should be saying no, but we're denying ourselves because we're helping people. We're
That's an excellent question. Okay. That is. I'm going to stop you there just so you don't have to, because I see it. But what you're basically saying Remember, everything the Bible says, you have to add on the end of it the implied based on God. Did y'all catch that? Has to be based on God. So if I deny myself for you, I'm still messed up because I'm still doing it for a wretched man. I don't mean to call you that, hun, but that's what you are. But you understand what I mean? You get where I'm coming from? So when I deny myself for man, I'm still messed up. I just went parallel to another negative. But when I deny myself for him, there's a difference there. Does that make sense?
So how do I do that? Darlene needs me to help her take her groceries in her house.
Yep.
And I'm tired. I don't want to do it.
Okay.
Help her. So how do I do that?
So first of all, if it's just because you're tired and you're using your tiredness to come in, that's sometimes where you deny yourself and say, no, I'm going to go help her out. Now, you drive down there and she's eating grapes outside and she has one bag and she's wanted you to carry it in. That's enabling her. Okay. Do you understand? She'll go, okay, I won't enable. Just take those in and help take these grapes in. But do you understand what I'm saying? Because I know the Bible says we're responsible for each other's burdens. So me being tired makes me go, hey, somebody's going through a burden. I got to get up off of here because that's what the Bible says. But I go down there and I notice I'm enabling them. I'll go, I can't do it right now. So me being tired becomes a factor only in the little bubble, but it has to be in the bubble of God. Do you get where I'm coming from? Most times we're either overly enabling, overly doing for people despite, or we're underdoing because of us. So it can't be because of us. And then wisdom plays a big part in that as well. Okay, God made these bodies. If I overdo it, my body collapses. God is like, if you can't, you can't. Does everybody understand that? Okay, if you break your neck and you die because you overdid it, God's like, I'm sorry, I can't. I maybe can help you tomorrow, but I'm wore out. I can't. You got where I'm coming from. So we have to use everything the Bible says, but that key has to be based on him. That's the key on that. You understand that? That's the key. So there is going to be sometimes you're going to be very tired when you're doing it, but you're doing it because God said. If that makes sense. Does that help?
Sometimes I think it's tough too because we're not still enough to listen to God to see if we're supposed to be doing something or not. And if he's telling us not, sometimes we don't know unless our body just shuts down.
That's the big part there. Not only that, because when you have a relationship, you won't have to go through the body shutting down. If you have relationship, true relationship is you'll understand him in your life, okay? Without relationship, there are people that mean well and their bodies have to shut down. Situations have to happen. Things have to collapse. And because you weren't 100% doing it for God. It's like a child. And I see my grandbabies sometimes do it. They want to help their parents out so much, but they don't do what the parents tell them. Did y'all catch that? Now, relationship would be just do what your parents tell you. Like, they'll do all this other wonderful stuff to try to make their parents happy, but their parents said, clean your room. You go in their room, and the room's a mess. And I said, this picture you drew was nice. This thing you tried to cook was nice. All that's great. But why didn't you do what they told you? See, relationship is I'm really getting to know what he wants. And it would blow your mind. You wouldn't be as messed up as you are if you just did what he said. Do y'all get it? Okay? We overdo it. World might be impressed. God's going to go, I didn't tell you to do all that. I remember when our company went under and there was three of us left. And my responsibility was to take care of this server. That was it. And this guy was shrewd how he did it. And I remember they had an auction come in. And I remember the guy said, hey, what are you doing? I said, well, I got to watch the server, but that's just me sitting here. And he went, do you mind helping us? I'm like, hey, I don't mind. You know, so I'm thinking I'm being helpful. So I went through the whole entire thing. I helped him through it and everything was done. The guy called me, and I remember his response to me was, so what happened today with them? I said, well, the auction, everything went well. I said, I actually helped him out. And he went, I'm not paying you to help him out, so I'm not paying you. That was his response. I'm not going to tell you what my response was. But the key to it, in reality, he was right. Y'all get it? Even though I'm sitting there going, but I was just sitting there. That's what he was paying me for. You understand? It had nothing to do with, but Keith, man, well, and he was doing, remember Uzzah? Y'all remember Uzzah? Okay, in the same way, what did he tell me to do? Mine should have been, hey, guys, I can't help. That's what unions, you know, when unions put it together, and I understand it. When we do it, we go above and beyond. And God's like, I do want you to go above and beyond based in me, but make sure it's based in me. And you have a lot of people that are really breaking their neck for God, and God's like, but I just asked you to do this, and you did this minimally because you spent all your other time doing all this other stuff. Do y'all catch that? Remember, well done. That's where the verse comes in about putting the plant, I plant seed, Apollos waters it. You're going to get a par and a polis that not only planted, but watered and fertilized and drank and planted again and did all this other stuff. And God's going to go, so somebody partially planted. Why? Well, because I was doing all this other stuff, God, and I was so busy. But what did I tell you to do? Did y'all catch that? Simply what? And it would require the rest of the body to step up. Most churches have the problem. You'll get a select few that do everything, and everybody else just come to church. Mega churches said that. Mega churches said they have 10, 15 people, and they got thousands of people that go, 10, 15 people do everything. You get what I'm saying? Okay? Both are wrong. Of course, the ones that are doing nothing, they're in trouble. The ones that are doing everything, they're in trouble. Do y'all get this? Okay? And it's something we have to work on to make sure my relationship is, what would you like me to do, Father? I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. Does that make sense? It's a good question. I'm glad you asked that, because like I said, we tend to do things. It feels good. We mean well, but we didn't really take God into consideration. Amen? Let me explain this, and then we'll close on the deny myself. So deny self. It says, when Jesus says, if anyone will come after you, he must. And the reason why I say it's a must, because this is not a suggestion. This is a requirement, which we have not done. We don't put this out there when a person wants to become a Christian. We just say, accept Christ as your personal Savior. And we come in with self. Now, he's not saying you have to change, but you have to come in expecting for change to happen. See, some people come in Christian, and this is what I am, and he's going to accept me the way I am. No, no, no. Christianity is saying, no, no, I'm not asking you to change now, but change is going to happen. You better be ready for change. So denying self means I'm going to come in and want him to say, Keith, 100% of you is wrong. Got it. I'm taking all 100% off because you're giving me the power to do it. That's denying self. If I come in going, I am who I am, God, so you better take me as I am, guess where I'm going? Right back out. Y'all get it? And this is what's happening to a lot. A lot of people are coming in with it. This is me, and I'm going to be me. And God was like, but that's not what I created you to be. Your flesh says you're that. The Spirit telling you what I'm telling you. So you're going to follow the Spirit, or you're going to keep following the flesh. That's why you still have Christians with attitudes. Still Christians with worldly or fleshly desires that they're living for. Christians who are still going after what they feel and not what he says. Do y'all get this? So the denying yourself and taking up your cross and following me means, remember, your cross are your problems and everything you deal with. Two choices. I can take my problems and stuff and deal with them my way, or I can follow him and do them his way. Two choices. He was like, if you don't, please go back outside. Right? Right? Don't waste your time. You're headed to hell anyway. Might as well head to hell on your way. But when you're ready to give up your entire self, then come on back in. Does everybody get that? Let me show you one last thing. But this on paper, we're close on this one. But it fits the same one, but even goes a little deeper. I think it's Luke. It's either Luke 14 or Luke 16. So Luke 14, starting in verse 26, and look how he even expresses this, and this one's hard to stomach, and I'll explain it. He says, if anyone, starting 26, so Luke 14, verse 26, if anyone comes after me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sister, yes, even their own life. Now, when you go back to the one in Matthew where it says, if you love them more than me, that's after you're a Christian. This is before you're a Christian. Okay, now what he's saying is, you are coming in with what you think is love. But if you don't know God, you don't know love. Correct? Because God is love. Right? So he's basically saying, so you're going to come in with this thing you think is love, and if you're not ready to come in and let go of all of that so I can show you how to truly love, you can't be his disciple. He says, and whoever does not carry his own cross to follow me cannot. What he's not saying is, I won't allow you to be. He's saying it's impossible to be. That cannot doesn't mean I'm going to stop you from being. He's saying you won't be able to be. Did y'all catch that? So we come in with this thing we call love for our mother or father, son or daughter, so on and so forth, right? And we come in with that love, and then we come in and we say, okay, God, I'm going to be a Christian with this love. And he was like, you know you're going to have to let go of that. And a lot of us are going, no, I can't. He's going, you got to go. He's not saying you got to go. He's going, you're going to fail. You can't do it that way. And many have followed this. And that's why you even have ministries go, no, he means love less. No, he means hate because you don't know what love is. He's saying, I need you to be able to totally let go. Now, I'll show you how to connect. Here's the big problem. Not only do you become a danger for them, but you also become a danger for yourself. Because now you're coming in with the wrong love or what you call love with them. Guess who Satan's going to use to get to you? Amen. You ever think about that? Because you already have a wrong love with them. Has nothing to do with God. Satan's going, I'm going in that door. The key that he's trying to show us is righteousness. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we keep bringing stuff that's not him. And that's what he's trying to show us. When I realize what a wretched man, I'll even go, man, I must have been loving them wrong. Right? God, show me how to love them. I'm letting go so you can show me. That's the person who recognizes, you know what, it's not about me. When we come in with even an ounce of us, man, we are so close. I've always been close to them. I'm never letting them go. I'm going to die for them. Right? I remember the one guy said, it was even in a movie, where the guy said, man, my family works hard for me to get to college. Not even Jesus Christ himself can get me out of here. And it was supposed to be a deep, strong moment. Well, in my mind, I'm going, that's stupid. That's the dumbest thing. But it's supposed to be a deep, powerful. And then one man even said that our love is so strong that not even God can break us. Are you really that stupid? You ain't going to love each other in hell. You understand, we say these things that sound passionate. And then when we look at it, that is the dumbest thing. Do you understand that? So until we really grasp God and let go of self, we're actually going nowhere. Or where we're going, we don't want to go. Amen? Any questions? All right. Like I said, stay tuned for the sermon. It's going to be how, God willing, how work works in a Christian walk. And it's going to talk about works, because that's been the confusing point. And hopefully it'll clear up what you were asking on that whole work thing. And we'll try to do what we can to make that even clearer for each and every one of us. Amen? All right. Let us pray.